Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. I am Pastor Dave. That's Pastor Jeff. And we are from Revolution Church in Salina, Kansas.
And we would love for you to stick around and listen to this whole show. We're also going to invite you to Revolution Church. You should come out. We today are going to answer some questions that Christians can't answer.
That's what they say anyway.
We love to do this. You know, if you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know periodically we just go online, we find an article that someone wrote about things Christians can't answer, and we answer them.
Right.
So we're going to do one of these today. But first, I have to apologize. We asked everybody to go and fill out a survey this last week.
Right.
And then our website went down.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Okay.
Like for the first time in 6 years, right?
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, we've had the show for 6 years. Our website has been up for 6 years. Never once has the website gone down. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, we're checking the survey responses and we're like, man, we did not get enough responses. This is really not good. And then we're checking the website and the website's down. It doesn't work. So we're going to try this again. We contacted the server company. And
you know what it was?
What?
It got overloaded.
People
trying to respond.
That's what it was. Yeah. Actually, I contacted the server company and in a very almost Christian way, asked them to get the website up.
Right.
It was a Christian way. Don't worry about it. But we need you to go to truthrevolution.tv/survey. That's truthrevolution.tv/survey. If you like or hate the show,
right.
You can get it on your mobile device. You can get it on your computer. You can't get it on your stone tablet, but you can get it on your normal tablet. truthrevolution.tv/survey.
There you go.
Why do they need to go there?
Because we need to know your opinion on whether the show is actually does any good for you or not.
That's right. We know that there's hundreds of thousands of listeners. We know. We see the statistics and the reports, but we want to know if it's actually making a difference. We want to know if it's getting done something for God's kingdom, if people who don't know God are listening to this, you know, or don't go to church or listen, we want to know.
Right.
TruthEvolution.tv/survey. This is going to make a difference on whether we continue the show or not, or how we continue the show.
Right. And be absolutely honest.
Totally honest. Yeah. Like, if you absolutely hate everything about it, tell us. If you like everything about it except me, tell us, which is pretty likely.
It's, yeah.
All right, so anyway, Dave's just a more likable guy than I am.
Yeah, whatever.
So this day, we're doing a...
Skeptic versus Pastor!
It's on.
All right, here's the questions Christians can't answer. He starts in the article and he says, I was a Christian. Interesting.
All right.
Actually, he says, when I was a Christian, I would have avoided reading something that cast doubt on the Bible. That's interesting. You ever feel like that?
If I would avoid reading something that casts doubt?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I feel like I shouldn't read that, but you know, I think that it's like not healthy for me to just totally ignore the other pile of evidence.
Yeah.
And the thing that we've always talked about on this show is we seek truth regardless of where that truth leads.
Yes.
You know, and so we want to know the truth, and if the truth actually leads us in some other direction and it's truth, then we want that truth.
That's exactly right.
But we believe that the truth is found in Jesus.
Yes.
And so that's where we're at.
I think at one point in my life, I actually would have done the same thing. When I encountered a difficult question or something that cast doubt on the Bible, I just would have moved in the other direction and tried not to pay attention to it because I didn't want anything to do with that. I felt like it was questioning God.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't feel that way
because
I see it differently. I have absolute confidence in God and absolute confidence in the Bible. And when my confidence starts to waver, I don't say, stop asking questions.
Right.
I say, my confidence is wavering. I need to ask more questions to get this resolved.
I agree.
Because we think the answers are there.
Amen.
If the answers weren't there, then we'd say, don't ask the questions.
Right.
But we think the answers are there, so ask the stinking questions. Go to truthrevolution.tv/survey.
And answer the stinking questions.
And answer the stinking questions. That was
a good
segue. All right. Anyway, let's go to the first question that Christians can't answer.
All right. Do you believe hell is an appropriate and or justifiable punishment for a simple lack of belief?
Okay. By the way, this sounds very similar to another question that we did on another Skeptic versus Pastor show. So this is a question that comes up a lot.
All right. It says, if that punishment is never ending per Jesus in Matthew 25, do you still believe it justifiable?
Okay. So hell as an appropriate or justifiable punishment for a quote, and this is what gets me, quote, simple lack of belief.
Right. there is no such thing as it's just a simple lack of belief.
Yeah, it's not as though, hey, God showed up, he was looking in your face, and you were just like, I just, you know, I really want to believe. I just didn't. Like, it just kind of like happened. Like, I was dead,
right?
And I didn't believe. Okay, here's what the simple lack of belief is actually when an infant dies.
Exactly, yes.
That is simple lack of belief. And an infant goes to God.
Yep.
So if you're actually talking about a simple lack of belief where you simply lacked a belief, then you actually would go to God. You don't go to hell for that. So I think that's okay. But we're not, I don't think he's actually trying to say simple lack of belief. I think he was just trying to word it.
Right. To where it's a little more
his way.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Skewed.
If we were to word this honestly, do we think it's hell's an appropriate punishment for a rejection of God's existence?
Absolutely.
Then the answer would be yes. Okay. God exists. God can punish. God can have anger. God can have wrath towards things that are evil. God can also have blessings and goodness and joy and love. And if you reject God's goodness and joy and love, which he's offered to you, there is only a few things left.
Right.
So if my kids come to me and I say, kids, come to the whole house is yours. I give you this room and that room and this room. They're filled with candy. And they say, I don't want anything to do with you or your room's full of candy.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, okay, well, then go to your room. What? And they can't sit up in the room and go, this is not justifiable. Right. You can't punish me like this.
Well, one quick question that I would have is, like, can we really call it a punishment if somebody with full knowledge of what the choice brings decides to reject God and
chooses
go,
it?
Yeah, and go the other way. That's not a punishment. That's a choice. I chose that.
That is interesting. I think the reason we can call it a punishment, and I love your point, because it is a choice.
Yeah.
Right? People choose whether or not to follow God.
Right.
They choose whether or not to accept the evidence. But the reason I think we can say it is a punishment is because hell does exist in us. It's not just like people are away from God.
Right.
It is the presence of God's anger.
Well, not only that, but I think we can think that we know what hell might be like, mm-hmm. but we have no idea. Just like we have no idea what heaven is going to be like, what eternity is going to be like in the presence of God, because yeah. I mean,
right.
the Bible says no mind is conceived what yeah, God has planned.
Exactly.
For us.
I mean, it talks about hell being yeah, everlasting fire, but mm-hmm. that's probably just a metaphor right. for the suffering. And then he says, if that punishment is never ending, do you still believe it's justifiable? Well, I think it would be justifiable because I don't actually think that the people who reject God now are going to, when they get to hell, say, have mercy on me, God, for right. I have sinned and you were right and I was wrong. And I think everybody will bow before Jesus, recognizing that he is, you know, the Lord and God. But I don't think they're really going to repent for their sin. I think
right.
they will still reject God.
Yeah.
I think they don't want God now and they won't want God later.
Right. They will just simply continue on the path that they had been going on.
Right. So, you know, I send my kid to their room because they refuse to apologize, and they still refuse to apologize 10 minutes later. They're still going to be in the room.
Right.
And this is a much bigger scale. All right, next question.
All right, using only the Bible, can you make a moral case against rape or against slavery? And can you do so without disregarding substantial passages found in the Old Testament that discuss property rights of fathers over their daughters and the rights of slave owners over their slaves?
All right. I don't have the Bible verses right with me. You can actually go to our website and look it up.
Mm-hmm.
But before I even get to the Bible verses, I think what's going on here is that he misunderstands what the Bible is. Okay, when you're asking for, show me specific Bible verses against slavery
right.
and specific Bible verses against rape. Okay, the Bible is not an exhaustive list of moral codes.
Right.
It's not a giant rule book, and it is not a magical spirituality book.
Right. A lot of history in there, a lot of recording of history going
exactly.
on.
Exactly. The Bible is a record of God's interactions with his people at certain places and certain times for certain reasons. I'm going to say that again. The Bible is a record of God's revelation or interactions with his people. Okay, that's what it's recording. It's recording God's interactions with his people at certain places in certain times for certain reasons. It's not a giant rule book. It can and does instruct us as to what believe about salvation and many moral issues, but it's never nor was it ever intended to be a comprehensive list of all good and bad behaviors.
Right. And one of the things that we've talked about before, especially like where the slavery thing is concerned, is that God is talking to the condition of mankind. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, well, if this is the way you're going to act, then we have to have these rules for that in certain parts of the Bible.
Exactly, because he was talking to a specific group of people mm-hmm. at that specific time for a specific reason.
Right.
Now, if the Bible was written during America's time when slavery existed, it probably would be very, very, very anti-slavery.
Absolutely.
But it was a totally, you need to go listen to our show on, excuse me, you need to go listen to our show on slavery.
Gonna link it.
Gonna link it. Yeah. On truthrevolution.tv, you can find this. And also, you should go to truthrevolution.tv/survey.
Answer the questions.
And answer the stinking questions. All right. You know, nevertheless, just to point out, okay, so we did the show on slavery. Mm-hmm. And there is a Bible verse that actually says, if a slave runs away and you find him, do not give him back. Let him go.
Right.
So is the Bible against slavery? Oh, the Bible had all these rules for slaves. Yeah, and it also had the rule that if a slave ran away, you can't have him back. That doesn't sound like slavery to me. But right. If he quits, you can't take him. You can't get him back.
Right.
That's you can't quit slavery. But in the Bible, slavery, you could quit. So it's very different than what you think slavery is in the Bible. And then the second thing about rape, well, there are verses in the Bible that are interpreted by probably skeptics wrongly, where it talks about if a man rapes a woman, then she has to marry him and blah, blah, blah. And they think, oh, how horrible is this to make the woman marry the man?
Right.
But that's not actually the case. If you read it, he was the one who was forced to marry her, and he wasn't allowed to divorce her for the rest of his life. He wasn't allowed to divorce her. And so, in other words, he has to pay for her to live as right. long as she wants. And she could have lived with her father still.
Right.
She didn't have to go live with him, but he still has to be married. He still can't marry someone else, and he still has to pay for her forever.
Right. And that is actually, that's quite a punishment, because if she still lives with her father and he's out, and he changes his life, totally yeah. turns it over, but he's still stuck. I mean, he's like, he has a wife that's not even living with him.
Yeah.
And he can never be married again.
I actually think this would be a better punishment for rapists today than what we do. Instead of just sending them, you know, if they actually rape someone, instead of just sending them to prison for a couple of years, how about you say, okay, you're now married to this person. You're not allowed to be married to anyone else. And you have to financially support them, whether they live with you or not, for the rest of their life, unless they don't want you to. I mean, that's, you know, okay. I mean, that seems at least somewhat helpful to the woman
right.
or to the victim. So, all right. We won't have a lot of time left on this section of the show. So we're going to skip the next question because it's a longer one.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go on to the two after that.
All right. Would you sacrifice your beloved child if God asked you to?
You're missing the point. God has never asked anyone to kill someone as a sacrifice to him.
Right.
He has never done that except himself. Right. He's only used his son as a sacrifice.
Right.
Now to the point, I would do whatever God asked, but I don't have to worry about him asking me that because the only sacrifice, the only human sacrifice the real God has ever asked of anyone was of his own son when he died for your sins. So you've done wrong and I've done wrong.
Right.
And the only human sacrifice that ever did anything for anyone in human history was when Jesus died.
Right. But you know, they're going to bring up the whole Abraham sacrificing his son thing.
Yeah. Well, we'll deal with that in the other side of the break probably. But, the only time a human sacrifice ever did anything for anyone was when Jesus died for your sins and my sins. He paid a bill that we couldn't pay. And when he died, we were reconciled to God. When he rose from the dead, we were given blessings from God. It's like the scripture says, if we were reconciled by his death, how much more will we be saved because of his resurrection?
Amen.
So I mean, like, wow, we're going to be actually saved. God wants to bless us. He wants to love on us. And Jesus rising from the dead proves it. So he's never asked anyone to actually sacrifice their child. We're going to talk about the other thing later. Okay. TruthRevolution.tv. Seriously, guys. We're looking at the show and the future of the show. What do we want to do? We know we got a lot of listeners, but is that the goal?
Right.
Is it just to have a lot of listeners? That's not our goal.
Nope.
We want to make sure this is making a difference. And so go to truthevolution.tv/survey. And if you don't, I mean, that's answering our question too.
Right. Yeah. That's an answer in itself. So
truthrevolution.tv/survey. And get out there. How many questions is it? It's like
six
questions or six. Seven questions, something like that. Super easy, almost all multiple choice.
You can do it.
I mean, Dave could do it. If Dave could do it. See, this is why you're easier to get along with than me.
Well, because I take it so well?
Yeah. and I just make fun of people. All right, we'll be right back after the break answering more skeptics' questions. TruthRevolution.tv/survey. You know, Revolution isn't the only good church in town. We also love Emmanuel Foursquare.
You know, Revolution is a good church, and you're a good pastor, Jeff.
Thanks.
I'm Lauren Holtberg, and I'm pastor of Emmanuel Foursquare Church here in Salina.
And where are you located at?
Next to the New Dillons on Cloud Street. And you know, the mission statement from our church is pretty simple. It's to live for Jesus and serve our community through love. So if that's what you'd like to do, we'd like to invite you to join us some weekend, Saturday night, free meal at 6, service at 7, and then Sunday morning, 9 or 11. God bless you.
God cares more about what's inside than what's on the outside.
For real. At Revolution Church, we're not worried about how you look. We're just a church for people who don't normally go to a church.
If you're interested, check us out on Facebook.
Or www.revo.church.
That's R-E-V-O.church.
That's right, R-E-V-O.church. This is about you and God. Our whole goal is to make a place where you and your kids will feel totally welcome.
Revo.church.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
One skeptic gave reasons to reject Jesus' divinity. A major point was Jesus' failure to recruit anyone from his own family.
Well, it's true that at one point Jesus' family thought he was crazy.
Mark 3:21 tells us when his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind.
But it didn't stay that way.
The book of James was written by someone pretty important.
I'll say it was written by Jesus' brother. One whole book in the Bible was written by a family member of his.
James says he is, quote, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. James 1:1.
Think about what it would take to convince you that your brother or sister was God.
It would take a lot.
No kidding. And it took a lot for James. He initially didn't believe, but after Jesus' death and resurrection, he appeared to James, 1 Corinthians 15:7. And that made all the difference for James.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Do you know, or are you, a woman between 18 and 22 aging out of foster care or without a place to live?
If your goal is to continue your education, whether it's a college degree or GED, the Hope House may be the place for you.
Located in Salina, Kansas, Hope House is a beautiful home, providing not only a place to live, but a place to grow.
As a program of the Ashby House, Hope House provides dedicated volunteers and staff members who are there to help you accomplish your goals.
If this sounds like it might be a place for you or someone you know, please visit hopehouseks.org.
That's hopehouseks.org.
So at Revolution Church, we want you to be informed.
That's why once a month we do a welcome class, grab some pizza, and talk about what we believe.
We'll show you why we believe the Bible is God's word, Jesus rose from the dead, and that science is still really important.
It is an interesting mix. It's one we're completely convinced about.
Why don't you check out Revolution? Come to a welcome class and see what you might be missing.
Give us 1 month. You don't have anything to lose.
Revolution Church.
www.revo.church.
That's R-E-V-O.church.
Revo.church.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back talking about questions that Christians can't answer, but we've already answered, what, three?
Yeah.
Three?
Yes.
Two and a half.
TruthRevolution.tv/survey. It's a very important website.
Answer the questions.
All right, so let's do the third question on the first page. Okay. We've done them out of order. Now we have to go back into order.
This totally violates my sensible OCD sensibilities.
I'm sorry.
I think.
I don't have OCD, I have CDO.
So they're
like
all in
OCD,
order, right?
But they're in the right order.
Yeah, I got you. All right. The question is, if today a devout group of Christian men were to enter a neighboring town and slaughter all who live there because it was reported that the residents were largely populated by those who didn't worship the Christian God, would that be justified? What if
no.
What if those Christians believe God had commanded them to do so? And what if God's command included that women, children, and infants be slaughtered by the sword, since such events are recorded in the Old Testament? Is it accurate to describe the God of the Old Testament as loving, merciful, and good? Is it possible that such written accounts were man-made justifications to overtake another tribe?
No. Okay, anyway.
Next question.
First and foremost, all right? You aren't comparing apples to apples with this question.
Okay, do tell.
He's like, okay, in the Old Testament, you know, the Israelites would like go and take over someone and they'd like slaughter everybody. What would you be happy if Christians did the same thing? Yeah, well, you aren't comparing apples to apples. Christianity is just a religion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's everything. I mean, absolutely. It's huge. It's amazing. But it's just a religion. The Jewish people in Israel back then formed a nation, and a nation has rights. that religion does not have, even in the Word of God. God very well may use nations right now to execute his judgment on other people and other nations. And as the time of the recording of this, we're not in a nuclear war right now.
Right.
But there's been
that could change in a couple of days.
Very inflammatory things said that I don't take very lightly. But I do recognize that God raises up kings and brings down kings. That God uses one nation sometimes to inflict punishment on another nation. So I'm not saying anything about a particular situation. But God was executing judgment through the nation of Israel on other nations at that time.
Right.
These other countries are doing things like child sacrifices.
Yeah, and he said in the question that it was just simply that they didn't believe in their God, and that wasn't the case.
That wasn't the case. They were not killed just because they didn't believe. Listen, this is important. That's a great point. No nation was killed in scripture by the Israelites just because they didn't believe in God.
Right.
No, they were killed because they committed atrocities that are beyond probably your imagination. And they did it for hundreds of years, and they were warned, and they still continued it.
Right.
And so God then executed judgment on these nations. They were executing their children as a child sacrifice to like a god named Molech, for example. They would burn their children alive as sacrifices.
Right.
I mean, and more and more and more. Actually, we had like Clay Jones on. You can go to our website, search Clay Jones, this Dr. Jones. And we talked about this at one point in time,
right,
about the evil that these nations were doing. And I'm serious. Right now, if there was a nation in our world doing the things that those nations did back then.
Oh, yeah.
You would probably be crying for America to go stop that nation from doing what they're doing. Absolutely. You'd be saying, we need to go to war against them and stop them from doing these things that are atrocities. But you're complaining about it because the Israelites did it. That's not fair.
Right.
If you want to make an analogy, you need to make the analogy, should Christians do something to stop people from burning children alive?
Right. That's a good point.
The answer is, yeah, we should. Now, Dave and I come from a church that's a pacifist church.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't think the answer is necessarily to put a bullet in someone's head.
Right.
But we won't get into that right now. So,
okay.
Next questione.
All right. Would you kill babies or children for God if you believed Yahweh asked you to do so?
Actually, you know what? Let's do the Bible contradiction first. Yeah. All right, let's do the Bible contradiction first.
Bible contradiction.
All right, today's Bible contradiction brought to you by the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Oh.
Has anyone seen God?
Okay.
John 1:18 says, no man hath seen God at any time.
All right, so nobody.
Yeah. Exodus 33:20 says, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. However, Genesis 32:30 says, for I have seen God face to face. Yeah, and Exodus 33:11 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. So there's a bona fide contradiction on our hands.
Right. So what do we do with this? One verse literally says, you can't see God. Another verse says, I have seen God face to face. If there was a contradiction in the Bible, this certainly seems like it would be it.
Right.
Until you actually know how to read the Bible. The D in our crack acronym stands for?
Dialect.
And the A stands for?
Author's intent.
D for dialect means...
Passed.
That was a good job, Dave.
Thanks.
All right, the D for dialect means what type of language are they using? Are they exaggerating things? Are they using hyperbole? Are they... what type of words are they using?
Right.
Okay, the A for author's intent meant, what is this person trying to communicate? All right, when they say no man has seen God, what's he trying to communicate? He's trying to communicate the nature of God. God's immaterial. When they say, I saw God face to face, what were they trying to communicate? I had a really big experience.
Right.
Right? I had a big experience. Does not contradict. God is immaterial. That's not a contradictory statement.
Right.
When you read it the way they intended to say it, and some people are in there listening going, but that's not what it says. Every single day, you use colloquialisms. Mm-hmm. And you have no problem with it.
I look death in the face. and smiled.
Right. And we know, you can't look at death. You can't look at death, Dave. That's a contradiction. Right. Right? No, we don't do that. I went to Soul Dollar City the last couple of days, right? And we were walking around. Someone said, we've been walking forever.
Wow.
My feet are going to fall off.
It probably would have already fallen off.
Right? Like, okay, we didn't walk forever. My feet didn't actually fall off. Mm-hmm. But we say these things, right? The Bible is not a textbook. It's written in human language. Right, God uses hyperbole. The only question is, which of these is hyperbole? Is it the one saying no one has ever seen God, or if you see God, you'll die? Or is it the one saying I've seen God face to face? One of these is hyperbole.
Right.
I think it's probably the latter, because God's immaterial. God doesn't have a face. Mm-hmm. So when they say I saw God face to face, I think they're using hyperbole to make the point, I had a really big experience with God.
There you go.
When Moses sat down with God and he saw him face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, he's saying Moses had an experience unlike one that any human has ever had. But God doesn't have a face, right? So this is the deal. It was hyperbole to make a point. Mm-hmm. The author's intention was to communicate that Moses had an experience that no one had ever had before. And that is how we solve this. It's not a contradiction. It's just using normal words.
Bible contradiction.
Skip it a bang.
That was interesting, actually.
So. Good. I'm glad. All right. So we finished talking about how God had Israel kill people because he was executing judgment on nations who were murdering people. Now let's do the next question.
All right. Would you kill babies for children or children for God if you believed Yahweh asked you to do so? Since the instances are written in the Bible, is it possible that others have murdered their children because God told them to do so? And in fact, God actually did tell them to. If you don't believe God would do that today, why not?
Okay, I'm sorry. But
I feel like I'm wrong.
Not you, it's him. It's not you, it's him. Okay, since such instances are written in the Bible, he says, since instances of people sacrificing their children to God are in the Bible... Okay, they're not.
Right. Well, there's one instance.
Well, no. Well,
Jesus being sacrificed by God.
Jesus was sacrificed, but there was another instance where someone killed their child for God. God didn't want them to. It wasn't ordained by God.
Right.
It was someone doing something they shouldn't.
Right. And it was recorded.
Right. It was just someone, a cracked acronym. Okay. This is the author's intention. Were they intending on communicating history or a command? They were communicating a history. This is what happened. This lady or this person killed their child for God. Was that okay?
No.
No. Nowhere in the Bible does it say it was okay. And some people are thinking, okay, what about Abraham and Isaac? God told Abraham to kill Isaac. Well, here's what's most important to remember about that story. What is it?
That God stopped him?
That Isaac didn't die. Okay, that's the most important thing.
Right.
And then God outlawed the practice, saying, like, we're not like them, right? We don't do... Hey, you thought you were going to kill your kid? Guess what? Don't, because we don't do that sort of thing. Right? And also, you were supposed to look at that story and go, man, he almost killed his son for God. That's crazy. Who would kill their son? Killing your son, that is crazy.
Right.
And then...
That's like worth the most crazy thing you can do.
And then, God killed his son. Mm-hmm. If you actually look at the languages in the scripture, it's really interesting. Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love, and sacrifice him. Mm-hmm. Right? And then you look to Jesus and God says, this is my son, my only son, whom I love. Right? It's like the same wording showing us that, wow, this story that you thought was appalling. Yeah, God didn't actually kill Isaac. He just wanted you to know how appalling it was, so that when his son died, you'd realize how appalling it is that someone had to die.
Wow.
That someone had to die to pay for our sins, because sin has to be punished. Evil has to be destroyed. Someone has to pay the price, and it wasn't us. It was Jesus. Now, if you don't want to accept that, you're more than able. Not able, but...
More than welcome?
You're more than welcome to try, but you're going to have to do it in hell for all eternity. Your choice is God and forgiveness and Jesus, or paying the price yourself. I recommend Jesus' forgiveness.
Amen.
Come on out to Revolution Church. We'd love to have you. And of course, you got to go to our website.
Yep, truthrevolution.tv/survey.
TruthRevolution.tv/survey really will make a difference on how our show continues, if the show continues. We're listening to what you have to say. We want to know, and we're going to make sure this website stays up. If it doesn't, Dave's going to eat a sword live on air.
I've never done it, so this will be interesting.
I'll try to talk to me. I can't promise.
But live on air, I mean.
So, anyway, truthevolution.tv/survey. If you love us, if you hate us, just let us know. And if you don't do anything, you're letting us know.
Right.
All right. This has been a great time. Coming out to Revolution Church, revo.church, and truthrevolution.tv/survey.